This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good morning, everybody. Mishnah Yomi. Today we are in Tamid. I'm going to back up to what we started on Shabbos. So we're going to start from Gimel Zayin. We'll do Gimel Zayin, Gimel Tes, and Dalet Aleph. Okay, so that's Gaz through Da. Okay, we're making progress. How many prokim? 7 prokim. Okay. Halfway done, something like that. All right. Let's go. So, where were we? So we have these two Kohanim. The one who's going to do the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnim, the Dishon HaMenaira, two different Kohanim. And they have to open up the gates of the Heichel. They walk in with 4 Kalim, a Teni for the ashes of the Mizbeach HaPnim, and a Kuz for the Dishon HaMenaira. And 2 keys. One of them is going to have to outstretch his armpit and one straight. Okay, so they're going to come in now. How are they getting in? They don't go in through the main doors, no. They go through Pishpesh HaTzvayni, below the Pishpesh HaTzvayni, a small Pishpesh, a small opening that was north of the main Pesach HaHeichel. Exactly what it looked like. It was some small door, it seemed like. Okay. Which, this was the Kohen that was going to do the Dishon Mizbeach Pnimi, was going to go in first. All right. So now, Shnei Pishon Hayu L'Shar HaGadol. There were 2 Pishon, 2 small auxiliary doors for the Shar HaGadol. The Shar HaGadol is the front of the Shar of the Heichel. Echam Atzal Mechador, 1 north, 1 south. Shebadar Amlanich Nas Bayadam Elam. The southern one was never used. The northern one was used every day, it seems. The south was never used, it was locked. Alav Mufur Shnei Cheskel. It's something very, very mystical. It says by Yechezkel, V'yomer Eli Hashem. Hashem says to me, Ashar Hazeh, Sogriye, should be closed. Lo Yifoseach, should not be opened. V'ich lo yavoy boy. A man should not come into it. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael, bovoy. Rabbi Yishalom comes into it. V'yish Gershom Yilak, whoa. Rabbi Yishalom comes in through a gate. Okay, this is holy, holy stuff. I don't know what that means exactly. The person doesn't need gates. Weisnicht, Versteinicht. I don't know. But it's obviously a holy business. And we don't use that gate. Okay. All right. Nil Tal Mafter takes the key. Pazach has a picture. Opens the picture. I think this is just repetition of what we said before. I think so, yeah. Okay. Nil Chaz Tal, he walks into a cell. From the cell into the Heichel. He reaches the Shar HaGadol of the Heichel. Now, important to note, the Shar HaGadol was double doors that were doubled. What I mean to say is, you know, sometimes you walk into like an office building or a shul, and you have 2 sets of double doors, right? One set of double doors, and then there's like a little, I don't know, foyer, and another set of double doors. So that was the same thing over here. 2 sets of double doors. So to have that in front of a shul is very appropriate, because we're going to Mikdash Ma'at. Mikdash Ma'at. So, he's going to go into the inner ones, okay, because he went into the Heichel, and he's going to open them up. All right, let's come to the Shar HaGadol. Fine. He's going to open up both sets of doors, yeah. Okay. Heyi Ale Shar HaGadol, he reaches the large gate. Hever es haneger, and he removes the lock, the bolt. As a poischeis, and the locks. I don't know exactly what these locks were, where they were. They were holding the bolt in place. There were separate locks, different, like a latch. I don't know exactly what they looked like. Okay. Didn't really explain. And he opened the gates. Now, usually the gates are opened by the Levium, but this gate was opened by a Kohen. The Levium did not come into the Heichel. So then he walked into that foyer, and they opened the outer doors as well. Okay. Lohaya Shaychet HaShaychet. The Shaychet, we're not Shecht. The Karban HaTamid. Ad Sheshemeh Kol Shar HaGadol Shnetach. Until he hears the sound of the great door that has been opened. You're not allowed to shut the tamid before the gates of the Heichel have been opened. I don't know why he had to hear it. He couldn't see it. It wasn't that far away. I don't know. Mizbech maybe was blocking his view. I'm not sure. So the ulam in front. So ulam had doors? I don't remember. It doesn't seem like it did, because no one's talking about opening doors of the ulam. So it seemed like there were no doors. Now, he can't do it yet, because he still has to wait for Dishon Mizbech HaPnimi and Dishon HaMenoira. Those preceded the Shechit of the Tamid, according to some at least. And those have to be done after the doors are open, so it just means he's going to get ready. According to some. Ches, Mirichoy, from the city of Jericho. How far was that? It was 10 parsois, which is 40 mil. 40 mil, each mil is 2,000 mil, so it's 80,000 mil. No, 8,000.
80,000
amos. 80,000 amos, thank you. Something didn't sound right what I said. 80,000 amos, yes. Far, between 38 to 48 kilometer. How many miles is that? What did they say, 30 miles? What did they say? 23. Is that really how far Yericho was from Jerusalem? I don't know. I mean, Mish is not wrong. I'm just thinking, modern day Yericho is there. This is a tremendous nace. They would hear the call of the Shar Gadol that was opened. Maybe we should get them some WD-40. Mirichoy Shemin Kol HaMagreifa. Magreifa usually means a shovel, but here it's referring to a special musical instrument used in the Beis HaMikdash. It had 10 holes with 10 pipes. It made 100 different sounds. It looked like the shape of a shovel. I don't remember. In Erechim, we talked about the instruments. I don't remember this one coming up. I don't know why. Don't know. Mirichu Yishay Min Kola Eitz. They would hear the sound of the wood. Sh'as Ben Katan was the name of the man. Mochni L'kir, the pulley for the kira every night that was sunk into a bar, so it shouldn't be Solina. Spoke about that not too long ago. Mirichoy from Jericho, Yishayman called Gvini Karois. Gvini was the first Kohen Gadol, regular Kohen, who was in charge of waking up the Kohen. Omnu Kohen Levadasam, Levian Leduchan Misam Amadam. It was the Vekar, as we say. Subsequently, all the future Vekars were called Gvini. But that was only the real name of the first one. Can you imagine how loud he was? Quite an alarm clock, no? Mirichoy, they said it was an ace, though, so. I don't know if we should. Yeah, that's true. Yerichoy Shemin Kol HaChalil. The Chalil, the flute. It was played in various days. We learned all about that in Erechin. 12 days of the year, they play the flute. Fine. Tzlumish. Yerichoy Shemin Kol HaTzilzol. The cymbals. Okay, those are loud. Yerichoy Shemin Kol HaShir. The Kohan and the Levim singing. Yerichoy Shemin Kol HaShofar, the shofar that was blown with the chatzaitzrus every day in the Beis HaMikdash. V'Yishayim Rav Kol Shel Kohen Gadol, B'Shol Shu Maskos Hashem Yom HaKippurim, the call of the Kohen Gadol, when he mentions the shame of Hashem and Yom Kippur. Yerichoy Menichim Reich Pitu Maktoires. The Keteiris. They smelled the Keteiris. Omer Belezer ben Diglai. Yizmoy lebeis amai tate gehad goats bahar michvar on Mount Michvar, some mountain far from Jerusalem. Vayu misatshois, and they would sneeze merech pitum keteiris from the smell of the Keteiris. Okay, Gimel test, new Mishnah that we're doing today. Misha Zalcha B'Dishon Mizbech HaPnimi. Whoever was Zalcha B'Dishon Mizbech HaPnimi. Nechnas, he went into the Heichel. He already went in. I'm just repeating what we said before. Backing up. V'Natalten, he took the big basket. Okay. So after he opened up the doors, he would end the Heichel and pick up his basket back up. It could be when he opened the doors, he put the tenny down, now he picks the tenny back up. Bani Cholofana puts it in front of him. It's right in front of Mizbeach. V'yachoyven v'noitzin l'sach. He takes handfuls, cupfuls with his hands of ash and puts it in the tenny. Even if it makes his hands black, which for the shame Hashem, for Zavaida, that does not disturb us. Uvachrein at the end, when there's a little bit left, kibes hashad asach, he sweeps the rest. They say he had a kli for that. I would have thought he did it with his hand, but they say, it seems like they say he had a kli. I don't know how they knew that, but okay. The Rav doesn't say that, but all right. Venicho the Yatza. He did not take the tenny out. What? Yes, that is correct. He leaves it there. Why? Because he's waiting for the Deshan HaMenorah. He's waiting for the Deshan HaMenorah, which is not going to take place until after the Zrikas Dama Tamid, when he's going to do the second round of the Deshan HaMenorah. And then they're going to come out together. And pour it in the same place on the eastern side of the Mizbeach with an ace. Okay, good. Okay, now we get to the Menorah. Now the Menorah is a bit on the complicated side. Okay, so let's go. Who got the Menorah? Whoever did the Dishan Menorah. Let's talk about the Menorah for a moment. There is a discussion exactly how the Menorah is situated. Is it east to west or north south? Our Mishnah is going that it was east west. Okay, east west. It was in the south of the Heichal. Okay. Now, there was one Ner that they would light all the other candles from. According to this Shita, it was the second one from the east. We refer to it as the Ner Maravi, which is a little bit strange because it was not very west. Out of the seven candles, right? It was the second one from the east, but just accept it for now. Okay. Anyway, how we learned that from Sukkim, it was the second one. Fine. That Ner would stay lit all day until the evening, and they would light from it the other candles. Fine. The Ner Maravi, as we know, is the Eidos, the Shechina Shoyre B'Yisrael. He put the same oil as his friends, you light from it, you finish the Tavas Aneris, it stays lit, pass everybody else. Yeah, I always find this subject a little bit confusing. We'll try our best. I apologize. They say when the Kohen came and did the Deshen of the last two Neros, again, it's split up into five and two. When he does the last two, after the Talmud, he only does the eastern one. Then the Ner Maravi, which is number two, he allows it to remain lit until the evening. After he lights all the other ones from it, then he would put it out and then do Deshen. So you do Deshen on... So you do the Dishan of that Ner in the evening? That's what gets me confused. But it says, no, it's that Tavas Shtein here. That's why it gets so confused. Okay, Misha Zacha B'Dishan Menor. Nechnas Amat Shtein Neros Mizrach. He said, find the two most eastern ones, which is the eastern one and the Ner Maravi. Okay. Dolkim. Lit. B'Dashan Zashar. He takes the Deshan, the ash, and the leftover oil and the wicks from the others. Puts it in the, what is it, the kuz? Menechas elu dolkem nimkam, leaves those two to stay lit. Let's see what they explain. Again, we're going to Mandomar, the Menechas from Mizach Tamarav. He finds the eastern two are still lit. Uh-huh. Do Deshim from the other five. Uh-huh. And then you would refill them with new oil and new wicks. Yeah. We're not lighting them now. We're going to light them in the evening. Sometimes the Kohen would come and find all of them lit. The Mishnah teaches us the last two, because all the other candles, if you find them lit, the Kohen would put them out. But these two he did not put out. Right. Those two eastern ones, he would leave lit, and he's going to deal with them after the carbon tamid is shechted and nizrak. That point, he will put them out, take out the ash, and put a new. So you're not relighting it? Let's see. So he's splitting it up in two parts, the five and the two. Okay, that part's fairly simple. And we learn that from the Sukkim, that the two are separated from the five. Okay, we're not going to go into all the drushes how we know that. Fine. Okay. Let's keep going. Matzon Shekavu. I found them that they had gone out. After the passing of Shimon HaTzadik, Shari Knesset HaGadayla, there wasn't this nace that was constantly happening. Okay. He would sometimes find them extinguished. What would he do? He would take out the ash, relight them, if he had no fire, he would go to Mizbeach to get fire. So Matzon Shekavu finds them already extinguished. Medashnin takes their ash, Madlikon, and he lights them a dog from anyone that's still lit. Then he goes to Medashnin, and Shar goes back to the five. After he lights those two eastern ones, he would go do Deshin from the five. And those five would remain extinguished till evening. After the Kamen Talmud is shechted in Nizrak, he would then go back to those two eastern ones. He would take out the Deshen from the most eastern, put a, again, he's doing Deshen the second time around, oil, wick, and remain extinguished. Then he would put out the Ner Maravi, new wick and oil, and light it. And at the evening, you're going to light from that one. Okay, so if you walk in and the two Mizrachis are lit, you're going to do Deshen on the five, that's easy. You're going to come back after the Talmud. And what are you going to do? You're going to do Deshen on the eastern one, yeah? And the Ner Maravi, what? You're going to do Deshen and then relight it immediately? It sounds like it. The Ner Maravi sounds like it had to be put out and relit in the morning, what I'm understanding. If you found it extinguished, you relight it, extinguish it, and then relight it again. So it remained, they have to be filled up with oil once a day? I'm a little confused. They only filled up with oil once? The same amount of oil as the others? More than the others? There's an ace that you lit in the morning and remained lit until through the entire day and through the entire night? I'm a little confused about this topic. It's very, very little. Details are not so clear. Not so clear. Okay. Evan Heislof Namanar, there was a stone in front of the Menorah. Bala Shal Shemaz with three steps. Shalai Kayan Oimin Ametiv Sanaris. They stood on it and did the Ametiv Sanaris, which is the Dishna Neris. Nirs Akuz, and he leaves his Kuz Amal Shnia on the Mal Shnia Vyatsan. He goes out because he's going to have to come back to do the last two, I assume. Yeah. He's going to have to come back to do the last two. So we'll come back to that later. Yeah. So we have two. The Tani is in the Heichal and the Kuz is left there. Uh-huh. Yeah. So they're both going to have to come back to finish the job. Dalet Aleph. Lo yukayfsin esat tleh. The carbon tamid, the tleh, would not be bound. Two hands to two hands, 2 feet to 2 feet. Hal ma'akten is like an akeda. I mean, one hand to 1 foot. One hand, other hand to the other foot. An akeda. Misha zocha bevarim, the people who are zecha in the halas bevarim, Yisba would hold it. Even though it was bound, it would still shake around, they need to hold it. Kach is it the god, kach hoisa akeda. So this is the way it was bound. Rachel Darman's head facing south, Remember, we're in the north of the Mizbeach, so our head is towards the Mizbeach, but the face is Lamarav. The face of it is facing west. Okay, and this is from Sukkim. We say, oh, so this way, if it's a Matzal Glolim, it defecates. It should not be towards the Hegel. Oh, even though that never did happen. It was an ace. Okay. We need the neck facing west, stayed in Pasuk with Hashem. Hashoichin oimid ba mizrach upon the marv. The sheichit stands in the east with his head facing west. We don't want him to have his back to the heichel. He's going to come up from behind the animal. Sounds like that's the way it was. Shal shachar, the one in the morning, was on the northwest corner of the Mizbeach. Tabashni, but the second ring, not the first, the second. Remember, there are 24 rings. Can I get the 24 mishmaris? Half moons that they would open, they would put the animal's head in there, and then they would close them. I don't know exactly how they stayed closed. What was the mechanism? I don't exactly know. But it worked somehow. Every Mishmar would shecht on their particular ring, with the exception of the Tamid. It always was set rings. Because the Tamid shall shach, we want connected the Shemesh. And the Shemesh in the morning is in the east, so we want to go west to get those rays of the sun. We can't go the one right next to the Mizbeach, because then we're going to get the Mizbeach shade, which is going to be block the sun.
What do they do in the rain? It did rain there occasionally.
I think so, yeah. Sure. Shabbat Arbaim, my Nishrat, Al Karim Al Tabashnia, was on northeast and second ring. Same idea, you want to get the sun in the west in the evening. You don't want them to be blocking, so you go second. Okay. Shachar, the Sheikh Shechs, keep him a Kabbal. Now, the does Kabbal. That was the kind of Zeicha and the Zrika. Mm-hmm. Bolo Kerem Mizrach Sfein, he comes to the Mizbeach, walks over to the northeast corner, gives a sprinkle of the blood on that corner, what we call Achashishtaim. It's one sprinkle, but it spreads to two corners, two sides. Fine. Okay. I'm going to go into how we know that corner, etc. Then he goes Maravis Dreimis, southwest corner. Raisa Maravis Dreima gives that, sprinkle there. Shadam, the leftover blood, is Shevich Hasei Dreimis, the southern Yisod, the southern foundation, the base over there. There's a hole over there to take the blood. Mashenkin, Chadas Pnimias would be on the western Yisoid. From there, on the side there was a hole, it would end up on the Ritzpah and eventually go into the Amma to the Nachal Kidron. Everybody have a wonderful day.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.